Great to see you. You can turn me, please, to Luke chapter 7. Seven people encountering Jesus in a different way. And this is what it says in Luke 7 and verse 36. Now, one of the Pharisees, say Pharisees. Pharisees are like the Odelinger van die Kerk. These are the main oaks. These are the holy guys. They're wealthy guys because it's like the Broederbond and the Masons. There's like they've got business connections, and they're kind of the guys who control the economy and they control the spiritual climate in the city. These are the Mainos. A Pharisee invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and he reclined at the table. If you just read that, you realize there are a whole lot of things that are missing there. Because when you came into a guy's house, like you come into my house, I meet you at the door, I say welcome, I bring you in, I offer you a drink, and I turn the TV off. That's just manners. When I turn the TV off, it's like saying, you're welcome in my house, I'm going to turn that off, you've got my full attention, I give you a drink, and I sit you down. So there's a process of protocol which this Pharisee has missed. You meant to put your hand on his shoulder, you meant to give him a kiss on the cheek, you meant to wipe his feet, put a bit of olive oil on his forehead, and then he lies down. If you go one page back to Luke chapter 5 and verse 27, it says, after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi, that's Matthew, sitting at the tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him, and Levi got up, left everything and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with him. But the Pharisees, say Pharisees, this guy that's invited Jesus to his house, he doesn't actually want to entertain Jesus. He wants to question Jesus. He doesn't actually want to welcome Jesus in his house. He wants to put him on the spot and expose him. But when the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belong to their sect complained to his disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus answered them, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus was made more welcome at a sinner's house than he was at a religious person's house. Jesus said to the sinner, follow me, and ends up in his house. Friends, please understand this, the difference between the houses. One has got cigars, whiskey, and probably pictures of 4-3 liters on the door and on the bar, and slogans. The other one's got candlesticks and scriptures written on the wall. One is full of prostitutes and swindlers and meddlers and fraudsters, and the other one is full of religious people. And one welcomed Jesus, and the other one are there to question Jesus. And to understand this story, you have to believe that this woman was actually, she had had an encounter with Jesus. If you read Luke up to now, she would have had an encounter with Jesus. She is coming to express her love to Jesus. Not her love to Jesus that gets her saved. She's already saved. She wants to express that to Christ. You've got to understand that to understand the story. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town, she's a prostitute. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town, she was probably at the previous dinner, learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she bought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. Only two types of women had alabaster jars of perfume. It was very, very expensive. It's a Mediterranean climate. It's very hot, so people stink. So rich women had an alabaster jar which they would put over their necks. It had a pinprick of a head on it. It would be filled up, hang around your neck, and it would just give off a fragrance that would neutralize the sweat of the Mediterranean. Rich woman and prostitutes. And prostitutes' sweat would come from serving men. And this was her marketing tool to neutralize the sweat of her labor and of her sin. She would wear this around her so that when she went and stood back on the street, she wouldn't stink of the man who had been with her before, but she would have an aroma which came off her. This alabaster jar of perfume was bought by serving many, many men and was wasted on just one man. When the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, say he said to himself, If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he canceled the debts of both." Say both. "Now, which of them will love him more?" She's already had her debt canceled. "Which of him will love her more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman?" Why don't you stand, Chad? So he turned towards the woman and he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman?" He's talking to him, but he's looking at the woman, because he's dealing with him, but he's looking at the woman. "Do you see this woman?" Say that. "Do you see this woman?" See, the problem, friends, sometimes when you've been in the church a long time, we don't really see. Like, really see. "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet. You dishonored me. But she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet." You can't pour perfume out of an alabaster jar. It's got a very, very, very small head. The only way you can pour perfume out of an alabaster jar is if you break the neck of the alabaster jar and pour out the perfume. Maybe God wants to break your neck today so that you can pour out on Jesus the perfume of your life. "You do not, therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go," and the actual Greek word says, "go into peace." Go into peace. I don't know if the overheads are working, are they? Yes. For those of you who are new in the church, some of you know this from 3 or 4 years ago, but every time I open the Bible, this picture's in my head. This is the first picture. When you come to the Bible, it stops you wondering. So God speaks to Jonah, and he says to Jonah, "You must do something." Jonah disobeys God, and he goes on a big, long journey. And when he comes back, God says exactly the same thing. The illustration I used 4 years ago, I've been in the church for 25 years, leading for 25 years. I think I've preached about money 5 times in 25 years, which is not usual in the church. But I preached about money once, and a man got up, and he walked out, and he said to his family, "All the church ever does is preach about money." And he never went back to church for 2 years. And he went on a long, big journey. And when he came back to church that particular Sunday, I preached on exactly. Because that's how God works. So when God doesn't speak to you, just ask him what the last thing is that he said to you. And it kicks you out of cycle. So every time you come to the Bible, it kicks you out of a cycle because God moves us forward. The second way to look at the scripture is like this. It humbles us or builds us up. So Isaiah 40 says this, "Every mountain must be laid low, and every valley must be lifted up high, so that the glory of the Lord can come." That's that line, the glory line. And so what we find in this story is two people, a Pharisee who's very arrogant, and a prostitute who's very humble. What God is trying to do is build the prostitute up and humble the Pharisee down so that the glory of God can come. What is the glory of God? 7 things. You can see it on the screen. The glory of God, for anyone, to describe anyone. Actually, there were anyway. Another story for another day. If a person said to me, describe God to me, I would describe God like this. He is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love, abounding in faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, say thousands, including prostitutes and gays and swindlers and meddlers and murderers and not religious people and orphans and illegitimate children, maintaining love to thousands, forgiving, say forgiving, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And this lady has started to understand it, and so she's got to the glory line, and this other man is too arrogant to humble himself to get to the glory line. Every time you read the Bible, you can remember these three pictures. The third picture, if you have a look, is this one. He realigns us to the left or the right, and we're about to do a series on the book of Galatians. And it basically says, in Isaiah 30, it says, if you move to the left or to the right, there will be a voice behind you that says, this is the way, walk in it. So all of us have got a propensity to move left or right. This woman has moved left and lived a very wild life. The Pharisee has moved right and he's tried to obey God, but it's like he's been baptized in lemon juice. Christianity in Pretoria. Yeah? And actually both are wrong. And so when the word of God comes, what has happened with this woman is she's come back to Jesus so he can align her. This man, it says in Luke 15, when he sees the music and he sees the dancing, he becomes offended because inside of every one of us is a Pharisee. And true freedom offends Pharisees. Amen? So I want to ask you a couple of questions. Number one, what do you see? And number two, is there a Pharisee inside of me? So this woman comes. The first thing she does, woman can't vote. Woman can't vote. Women have got no standing. Women cannot go into religious institutions. If you can put that last picture up, please. In a church that I went to, a cathedral that I went to in Mallorca, Ireland, that picture, which is going to come up now. Is down the middle of the cathedral all the way to the front. And the tour guide said to us, why do you think this line was put down the middle of the church? And I said, so that because men sat on one side and women sat on the other. And she said, how do you know that? I said, oh, I've got a part-time job in Pretoria. Even in the construction of the church, I'm not talking about the synagogue, I'm talking about the church. In the construction of the church, men sat one side and women sat another side. And people knew that and women knew that. But this woman had seen Jesus, so she had the power and the courage to walk into a religious institution of highly ranked Pharisees and not give a hoot about what they thought. Because when Jesus is preached properly, women find courage to be women. And people say that the church puts women down. The church is meant to release women into the fullness of courage. And this woman, a sinful, broken, debauched, disgusting woman, understood that she could go into any forum and not care about whether they accepted her or not, because Jesus would not reject her. When Simon said if this man was a prophet, he would know who was touching him. A prostitute was touching him. Jesus should have turned around and said, Simon, get this dirty woman out. But Jesus defended her. And woman, I want to say you can go into any forum and hold your own in any business situation, because it doesn't matter if men pull you down, Jesus will defend you. And the second thing she does is she takes her marketing of her business, the thing that brings her business. Oh, and people will say, oh, you know, there are people in this church that can't eat and you're about to smash a bottle of perfume. That's the point. That is the point. She took the thing. What markets your business? If you're a road guy and you build roads, it's like taking your front end loader and bringing it to Jesus and saying, this is yours. If you're an orthopedic surgeon, it's like taking your hands and giving them to Jesus and saying, these are yours. She took a bottle of perfume so the glass doesn't go anywhere. I'm going to hit it hard, eh? She smashed it. So do you smell it? And the fragrance started to spread. Everybody thought she was dirty. Everything that came off her was dirty. You smell it? You smell it? That's beautiful perfume. And she took her front end loader. And she took her hands. And she took her marketing. And she said, I'm going to break the neck of this thing. And I'm going to pour it on Jesus. Because I'm very sinful. But he's forgiven me much. And I'm going to give him everything. And the Pharisee stands and says, what's that all about? This lady. You just keep pouring out, eh? And pouring, and pouring, and pouring, and pouring, and pouring, and pouring. And when your husband was a drunk, as we've heard many times, you just kept pouring forgiveness over him, and love over him, and grace over him, and another chance over him, and then he found Jesus. And then actually your house just started giving, and you started giving meals, and you started giving gifts, and you started giving presents, and you started giving words, and you started giving prayer, didn't you? You're like a fragrance in this church, man. You're like a fragrance in this church. This is VIP. Very important, people. Young lady, been praying for you so much over this time. I don't know why. But when you stand on that stage, you're young, and most people here are older than you, and you don't actually care. You don't care. You jump, you run, you shout, you scream. You pour out perfume on Christ. It's like nobody's here and only one person is here. And you pour it out and you pour it out and you pour it out and you pour it out. And this story is in the Bible to show us, friends, that actually there's an extravagance to Christianity. We worship Him freely and wholly and extravagantly. Bring your front end loader, sir, and bring your hand, surgeon, and bring your intellect advocate and pour it at the feet of the one who forgave you your sins. The second thing. Are you with me? Another time. She let down her hair. She let down her hair. Now, a married woman... No woman, even today, if you go to the East, woman's hair is tied up. And they asked the Iranian minister, in 1994, they asked the president of Iran, why do women tie up their hair? And he said, because the bounce of a woman's hair is very appealing to a man. So a woman, when she was married, would tie up her hair and cover it. And the only time she ever let down her hair was in the bedroom. The only person who could see her intimate was her husband. And this woman, in front of all the religious leaders of the day, said, to heck with you guys. I am going to be intimate with Christ. I'm going to let down my hair. I'm going to trust this man. I'm going to unbundle it, and I'm going to wipe his feet with it. You know what happened here last week? And somebody said to me, how does that young guy get up there and blow smoke up your backside? His words. I didn't ask that guy to come up and speak about me as the best man and the best family. I'm not the best man. I don't have the best family. And then a chartered accountant, Afrikaans chartered accountant, who preaches, gets up and he starts honoring a guy from Durban who God sent to him to bless him. That's not in the nature of Pete. That's not in the nature of accountants. But you know what happens, friends, when we build community properly? I didn't ask Brad to stand up and honor me, but I've toured the world with Brad. I was in England in a group of lots of people when he was leading worship and I was leading the meeting, and he called a man out from the front, from the middle of the meeting, and the man stood there. Some of you, and as he stood there, Brad was playing and he said, sir, you're stuck in the woods. You do not know which way to go. Sir, God sees you. God hears you. This man started to weep. And then he started to sing a rhyming song about Jesus walking into the woods. And it just built up until Jesus touched this man and the Spirit of God filled him. And then he started speaking about which way to go and how Jesus took him through the cloud. I've been with Brad. And when you're in meetings with people, you become intimate and you learn how to let your hair down. I was with Brad in Dubai when we were speaking about sin, and we were speaking about sinful women, and I was speaking about Jesus who takes stains of people's souls, and it doesn't matter what you've done. And a woman walked up to me and she said, I never thought I could get these stains off my soul. And him and I prayed for her, and Jesus touched her. So what you saw standing up there was not a man blowing smoke up my backside. What you saw was a man who let his hair down. And he could have done it in my home and said, I honor you, Rory, and I love you. But we're building a family where we can let our hair down and we can say, I love you. I nurture you. I thank God for you. I thank God we've been together, worshiped together, seen people saved together, seen people touched together. And we let our hair down. I want to build a church where I can stand up and say, you know what? I was in such deep trouble that the elder said I must go and see a psychiatrist. And I did, and she helped me. And you don't judge me. You don't think worse of me. I am fine. I'm getting better. But you don't think, oh, flip, he needed it. I want to build a church where I can let my hair down and feel safe. Or we're going to just play our religious thing. Alles is lekker. Everything's all right. I can't see beyond your heart. I can't get into your life because you're too proud and too arrogant and too freaking religious. Amen. This is dealing with two groups of people. Number three, she poured out her tears. Say tears. Every person in the whole world wants to be loved, wants to be free, wants to be clean, and wants to be whole. Everybody. To be loved, to be free, to be clean, and to be whole. This woman was not loved, she wasn't free, she wasn't clean, and she wasn't whole. But Jesus had touched her, and in a very short space of time, she came, and her tears, she was dirty all over, but her tears started to clean Jesus' feet. When God touches you, everything inside of you becomes redemptive, even your tears. She must have thought, how is God ever going to use me now? And Jesus says, I tell you how I'm going to use you. Your tears are going to start cleaning people's feet. Two things. I've got 2 minutes. This is the purest girl I know, so. Let me look at her and I'll ask you to stand. Why don't you stand, sir? He looked at her and he said to him, do you see her? Do you see her? And his problem, sorry, not your problem. His problem is he didn't see Jesus properly. He didn't see himself properly. And he didn't see her properly. Because when Jesus looked at her, he didn't see her past, he saw her future. Yeah. When he looked at her, he saw her past. He didn't see her future. When the church looks at people through their past, we'll be Pharisees. When the church looks at people through the cross and the future, we'll be redemptive. Maggie, why don't you go and stand over there if you don't mind? Yeah, where you always stand. And worship God like you normally do. And make a noise. Yeah. And so I thought, let's go for a modern day illustration and ask this question: is there a Pharisee in me? Because that girl is black and I'm white and she's young and I'm old. And God has done a remarkable work in her life. And this is a conservative area, very few black people in this church, in a patriarchal society. And we've got a black girl who's got courage to make a noise because she actually doesn't care about you. Because Jesus has set her free. And there have been times, excuse me, Maggie, there have been times when I think, I wish you would just tone it down a little bit. No, I'm being brutally honest. I'm being brutally honest because there's a Pharisee inside of me. And I need to see her. I mean, really see her and see what God has done in her. And then I will celebrate the perfume and the hair. She doesn't care about her hair. She lets her hair down. And the tears and the noise. Because it is a fragrant offering to Jesus. You know what the Lord says? Go into peace, woman. Go into peace. This young lady, I've seen her come with a wrestle in her heart, walking into amazing peace. Ladies and gentlemen, today I pray, walk into peace in Jesus' name. And you can come and choose whichever perfume you want. She chose beautiful. Because you are beautiful beyond description. Too marvelous for words. Too wonderful for comprehension. Like nothing ever seen or heard. You keep dancing and you keep screaming until every Pharisaical spirit leaves this church. And we understand. We need people with radical stories to remind us to keep putting our forklifts and our hands on the altar of Christ, because he's cancelled every debt, whether it's a debt of 50, a debt of 500, or a debt of 5,000, or maybe you sitting here thinking my debt is 50,000 or 500,000 or 500 million. He cancels all our debt. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen.